Hello, welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, career, and life. Well, maybe it is about growing your business or growing your career or maybe growing your life. But maybe that's a whole other story, something that we can further think about as we go forward. I think today is probably a day to remind you a little bit about what Set for Success is about. Now, it has been a while since I've actually done a reminder about Set for Success. And it's what it really means is it's an acronym, and it's actually the first word SET, S-E-T. What does that mean? Well, it means to take a structured approach to engage your people or be engaged to transform your business, your life, or your career. I guess it requires you to think strategically, but to act tactically and on different levels and in different areas, either within your own life or your business or your career. Now, why a reminder? Well, because lately we've done a lot of different types of shows. We've done shows of talking about leading with laughter with Big Daddy Taz and Roland, and making transitions in the third quarter with Sue Barkman, of the CEO of Skills Connect in third quarter. How about writing a business book and bringing something to market with Les Klutke? That was another show we did. And getting focused with Art Alexander of the Chamber of Commerce. Or how about entrepreneurship with Glenn Bueller of the Manitoba Executive Group? Those guests are all great guests, and they're great business and life champions. They brought a lot to the table. If you're interested in hearing some of the shows or some of the previous shows, just go to my website at www.setforsuccess.ca/radio. Again, www.setforsuccess.ca/radio. All of these guests provided insight on what you need to do to be set for success or successful in your business, your career, and your life from different perspectives on a different level. And now I want to take this opportunity to thank these people for connecting with me on the show. That brings me to an interesting word, connected. A very interesting word indeed. I often wondered what being connected really means. These days, maybe it has a lot to do with having your business online. And I know we talk about connecting with people, but there's just so many ways to connect with people. Yeah, I know, you just heard it from me, being online. Well, you can gather where we're going with this today. I have a couple of guests on the show and on the phone, actually. And one of them is a web strategist, thought leader, and author, and online guru, Randall Gregg. We'll also talk about advancing your career in your business or in your technology career and changing direction with author, trainer, coach, and speaker Sharon C. Evans from Winnipeg. As we get to the Set for Six Thoughts later in the show, we'll ask the questions, are you online in the right way? Now, I actually don't really know where that's going to go, but are you online in the right way? I think it's a great question because, quite frankly, I don't even know if I'm online in the right way, whether it's been with LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook or my website or, you know, even just for my career development. Or how about for business development? Do you know if you're in line the right way for your business development? I think maybe we got some people that can actually help us with that. And maybe how to even grow our careers if we want to go down that road. So we got lots of things we can talk about today. So let's get our guests on. So first of all, I'd like to welcome Randall Gregg to the show. Randall, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. And Sharon, I know you're on the phone, and welcome to the show, Sharon.
Thanks very much, Richard.
You could call me Randall if you want, but Richard's good, too. I got a couple of R's going there. It's all good. Randall, you know, I'd like to start the show off very simply with connecting with our audience and getting our guests to just tell them a little bit about their backgrounds personally. Could you just tell us a little about yourself personally so the audience can have something to connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a longtime management consultant. I'm one of Canada's internet pioneers. I've put a number of major newspapers online 20 years ago, as well as over 100 organizations across the country. I've written 7 books, including The Everything Guide to Starting an Online Business, and they typically speak about social media. One fact you probably didn't know, born in Moose Jaw, but grew up in Winnipeg.
Oh, did you? You born in Moose Jaw and grew up in Winnipeg. And how long did you live in Winnipeg for?
Oh, gee, all my younger childhood. Then my family moved east.
Okay.
Come back to Winnipeg all the time.
Yeah, I know. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit as we get further in the show, the reason why you keep coming back and forth to Winnipeg, because I think there's some organizations, maybe we can more to speak about some of the stuff you're doing as opposed to who you're doing it with, but are really embracing the idea of the stuff that your expertise is in. Sharon, I know you're on the phone also. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, sure. Why not, Richard, while we're at it? My name is Sharon Evans, and I go with the C as the initial in between because there are many Sharon Evanses out there, and I don't want people to get confused. And what I do is I help companies who really wish to use innovation or technology as their strategy. And I've been, I've got degrees in computer science and economics and management. So I've been at this for just a little over 22 years. I act as a management consultant and what they call an enterprise architect most of the time. And I essentially help individuals, better their organization or their innovation strategy.
Yeah, and we're going to talk
about that. Native Winnipegger.
Yeah,
I also add that. I've lived there all my life.
Yeah, so I know you're a native Winnipegger. I know we're going to talk a bit about some of your architecture stuff in one of the further segments. And I know that you've been in Winnipeg a very, very long time, so all of your life, so being a native Winnipegger. So it's quite nice to have somebody who's homegrown on the air, so to speak. And so it sounds to me like we all have a Winnipeg connection in some way, shape, or form. I've spent most of my life here too now, and it's quite the city, quite the place. Now, Randall, you were talking a little bit earlier about some of the work that you're doing. I think you were just going to make another connection business-wise to Winnipeg. And what is that connection?
What we do is we help organizations rethink their marketing with strategy, technology, and design, or said another way, helping them land their digital strategy airplane. So organizations will have me in to help their internal teams figure out social media strategy and policy, for example. So we've got some clients in Winnipeg that are doing that. And Winnipeg actually is a place where a lot of conferences and conventions. So I've been in Winnipeg a number of times this year to do that. And I've also led some executive education at the Asper School. So, and by the way, I've got some family in Winnipeg, which is not a bad thing either.
So that'll make a lot of connection for you. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break. And when we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Randall Craig regarding how he actually does online strategies and that for organizations and the work that he does. And we'll also bring in Sharon Evans in terms of some of the enterprise architecture as we start to talk about her book. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan back for Set for Success. And we're here talking with Randall Craig today, internet guru, social media expert, and Sharon Evans, enterprise architect and also consultant and author regarding improving organizations. Now, Randall, during the break, we actually had a chance to have a little chat a bit about marketing that, and I guess it would be sort of like more online marketing. Could you maybe speak a little bit more to that for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. 20 years ago, people had spent just an absolute ton of money on the web, and where are the increased sales or decreased costs? Today, people are spending an enormous amount of time and money on social media, and once again, the question is, where is the return? One of the problems that many organizations have, whether you're a big business or small business, is that the analytical models, the strategy that your strategy is built on, typically are some older thinking. So if you've done any kind of business school training, you might have be aware of the four P's of marketing: price, product, place, promo. And the thinking was back in the 1950s is that if you define those price, product, place, promo, the four P's, you'd be all set from a marketing perspective. Unfortunately, that doesn't drive sales. All that does is a descriptive model. One of the things that we'll do with an organization, and this is a great lesson for your listeners, is to say, well, isn't it true, if we wanted to actually do some sort of transaction, we've got to go through a bit of a process. And if we modeled our marketing on that process, it's more likely something will happen. So the one we use is called the relationship curve. And the idea is that the last stage is commitment. And if you think about a transaction like buying a car, and if you think about the last time you bought a car, you didn't just suddenly wake up one day and decide, hey, I'm just going to buy a car, and it's this specific car. No, there's some sort of stimulus at the very beginning. You became aware of your need. That's the first stage, awareness. The lease was up. You needed a bigger car because you've got kids, or a smaller one because the kids are gone, or maybe it's broken or something. Awareness. Preferences. Gee, I prefer Toyota Camry over anything else. Trial is the third stage, which is, okay, I'm going to go to the dealership. I'm going to test drive. I'm going to try it out and see if it works for me. And then only at that point, will somebody actually commit. Awareness, preference, trial, commitment. And the whole question about digital strategy, but also just general marketing strategy, is if for your business, if you're able to determine what the particular activities or initiatives that you're doing that generate awareness or generate preference or induce trial or cause commitment to happen, then you've got your marketing plan. And when it comes to the digital stuff, the social media, the web, there's a few other things, mobile, CRM, marketing automation, all those digital things that you can do, the question is, where do they fit in on the relationship curve? And that's typically what I talk to groups about, or the kind of consulting I do, or what all my books are about.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that sounds like a huge challenge, because just listening to that, and I know the four P's have been around for a long time, and some people say there's six P's, but the four P's, but just looking at that whole process, you know, from stimulus to performance to trial to commitment, do you have any examples of where maybe you've worked with an organization industry-wise and how you actually helped perfect that for them and the results that they got?
You know something, that's a very, very, very long question.
Okay.
What I'd like to answer is, you know, where does it fall down?
Okay, let's go that route.
Because most organizations are already doing some of those things, but they've just never thought of things along the relationship curve. So, for example, we went into one organization where they're getting lots and lots and lots of leads. Okay, lots of people knocking on the door. They were being found without a problem. But guess what? People didn't understand their product or service. So the question is, okay, so how do we sort of deal with that preference thing? Well, maybe white papers, maybe YouTube videos, maybe some events where people can, you know, see it. So those are the kinds of the initiatives they didn't do. And once people were educated, that's a preference, then it became easy for people to say, yeah, I think I do want to try this out. We've seen other organizations where, there's not enough leads coming in. But, gee, they really know how to sell once somebody comes in there, and they close almost everything. In that particular case is, well, what are the awareness activities? Online, it might be things like search engine optimization or search engine marketing, pay-per-click ads. It may be, for example, social media activities. It may be a whole bunch of real-world things. And then it's a question of saying, okay, so if those are going to attract people in, then once they're in, how do you get the next stage? Most websites, for example, and here's something we've seen over and over with a number of clients, is websites might look very pretty, but they're not set up to convert. They're not set up to actually get people to the next stage on the relationship curve. So here's a very simple test that anybody who's got a business can do, is to take a look at any particular web page and say, okay, given this page, what's next? What's the next thing that a typical user might actually want to do? So what you'll find is most pages, the answer is, I don't know.
Okay.
So you look at the Google Analytics, you look at all the site stats, you say, well, gee, people are leaving after a whole bunch of pages. Well, no surprise. They're leaving after all these pages because
they don't know what
the next step.
And I guess that's one of the logical things to try to figure out exactly what the next step is. And now you mentioned Google Analytics, and would you use Google Analytics for that? Like, how exactly would somebody go about trying to figure out what the next step was?
So
the short answer.
If you take a look, you asked two questions. One of them is about Google Analytics, which is a little bit of code you could put on your website. It's free. Your webmaster can do it, and it'll give you all kinds of analytics as to where people are coming from, how long they're spending on that page, what page they might go to next, etc. And it's a way for you to diagnose. To answer your second question, it's very simple. If there's a product page, for example, that's describing a product or service, the next logical step might be for somebody to request more detailed information, or to request a call from a salesperson, or maybe to find your physical location, or maybe it's to read testimonials or see product videos. These are just a small number of the potential next steps.
Next steps.
So what do you do?
You know what we'll do then? I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we talk about the Set for Success thoughts and everything. Maybe we'll expand on that in terms of what the next steps would be. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hey, it's Richard Lannan here for Set for Success, where we look at what you do to grow your business, grow your career, and grow your life. You know, being successful, I guess, is about finding a winning approach that helps you achieve the things you want to achieve. And today we're talking about it from the perspective of enterprise architecture, your organizational perspective, and also the online presence, your social media or your web presence, or what you need to do actually in business to be successful. I suspect often there are lots of lessons to be learned. I mean, even just speaking with Randall Craig, one of our guests today, is around some of the challenges and the problems that we have with our access or our lives online. I mean, my gosh, it just sounds like so overwhelming at times. And I'm sure you feel that way too. Yeah, so we need to sort of clarify that a little bit more. But I bet you, sometimes it's about basically working together and maybe unraveling some of these complex issues or what we think are complex issues and making some decisions around it and then establishing a direction that works. So when we return, we'll continue our discussion with Randall Craig, online expert, social media expert and guru. We're also going to talk to Sharon Evans or Sharon C. Evans regarding her book, and we're going to have a dialogue around that. And we're also going to do the Set for Success tips and thoughts, the things you can do or should do in your business to be successful around the topic that we've been discussing today. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hey, it's great to be back for another segment. We're talking today with Randall Craig, social media expert around online business and strategy, and also Sharon C. Evans regarding enterprise architecture and how it actually connects to all of this, I guess, for organizations. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to talk to Sharon a little bit about her book and that. So Sharon, I know you're on the phone and everything, and I know we brought you into the first segment, but let's sort of kick off getting our listeners to reacquaint them in terms of the type of work that you do. So what is it, the type of work that you do?
Well, I am a management consultant, and primarily to follow my tagline, which is technology with clarity, I help people get clarity about their strategies in and around their technology. And so what I do is I do something often called enterprise architecture. And so most often what I do is I help people come up with a strategy to get from their current state to their target state.
To their future
and the
state.
Strategy that I, yeah, yeah. And what I build there is something we usually call a roadmap.
Yeah, and I spend a lot of time on that side, too, working with people with roadmaps and going from the strategic to the tactical. Now, one of the things I find fascinating is actually the name of your book. I mean, I find the content fascinating, too, but you call it Zoom Factor. Why did you call your book the Zoom Factor or Zoom Factor?
Well, you know, Richard, that people that work in the area of strategic technology are often called architects.
Yes.
And that is because what they put together is much like a house, or more like in the area of enterprise architecture, it's more like a city plan. So they really have to put together the infrastructure before they put together everything else. And people that do that are most skilled at abstract thinking. And they need to be able to zoom out to really look at the big picture. And then they need to zoom back in, just like the autofocus or the focus on the lens of a camera.
Okay, that's
they
a good
analogy. They zoom in, they zoom out.
That's a good analogy, actually, zooming in and zooming out like that, especially when you're talking about enterprise architecture, because really there's so much of a connection with organizational development, would you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. And really what I try to coach people with is to actually get into, you know, first get at the very highest level and really get into the business side and really look at the highest level picture and find out really what the business focus is before they really start coming up with a technology strategy.
Okay. I noticed that in your book, as I was reading through it, it talks about the architect of your career. And since we do talk a bit about career development and career growth and everything on the show, could you explain that sort of segment or section to us?
Right. The book is, it was really born out of, just my, essentially not just my life's work, but, most people that get into enterprise architecture fall in. So they are really, really good technologists, or they're really good at business. They're good at designing computer solutions, online solutions, and they don't really know where to go first with that role or that job. So what I try to do with the book is really start them off at the beginning, and in their first chapter, really explain what it is and their role would be, so that they could even figure out whether or not they're in the right spot. And then through the book, I show them how they can actually architect their career, going from current state to target state.
Yeah, and I know in part two, you talk a lot about process-driven architecture, drive success through process. And I think Randall talked a bit about that too, in terms of the steps to take to be more successful online. Could you speak a little bit to, in terms of just the process-driven architecture?
Right. What I love to do is I love to show architects and people how they can learn a process that they can apply each and every time they look at a problem. So whether or not somebody doesn't have the correct financial solution as far as technology goes in their business, and they look at it in the exact same way. So they look at their current state, what are they currently doing to use technology to solve their financial solution or put their books together or recreate their records, their accounting records and materials, and put those together. And then future state, what should they look like or what they can report on?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, too. I gather in terms of a lot of the stuff that you're doing and you try to address in this particular book, you're also dealing with the need to have solid soft skills develop among your clients.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's actually one of the probably biggest fall downs or problems with people in information technology. They really don't necessarily relate the best with people. And what happens is the people that do relate well to people, they maybe get selected for a role in enterprise architecture, but do they do all of the other things? So how are they at leadership? How are they at communication? How are they at, really consulting with the business folk? How are they, really at just some of the management type issues that we need to be in order to get the job done.
Yeah, there's been a big movement in terms of business analysts and really technical people learning the business side of any organization. Randall, I know you're still on the phone with us, and that where do you see the connection between your online presence, if any, and in terms of architecture or enterprise architecture connecting the two?
I think there's a couple things. Number one, certainly for leaders, there's a question of that. But also anyone in the area of HR and recruiting, there's a very, very, very tight connection there.
Okay, so real connection between HR or the leadership, et cetera, in terms of how all this links together. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break. And when we return, we're going to continue our discussion with Randall Craig and also Sharon C. Evans regarding the Set for Success thoughts and tips. And we're going to connect it back into your online presence and things you need to do. And I also know Sharon has done a lot of work online, too. And so we want to bring that into to make it very realistic for your listeners. So this is Richard Lanham for Set for Success. And we'll be right back. Hey, we're back, and we're going to talk about the Set for Success thoughts, the tips and tricks, the things you must do. Now, if you've been listening, we've been talking a bit more about technology and architecture and so the idea of actually growing your career that way. But we're also been talking a bit about online presence and trying to sort of build a bit of a bridge between the two, because definitely your online presence has a lot to do with your business side and everything, too. Now, in this segment, I always like to go to my guests and for some discussion items in terms of what they think are really important. So we'll start start off with Randall Craig. And Randall, what would you say are one of your set for success tips that you could share with our listeners?
Certainly. Probably the first thing is to think about the resume for yourself or the website for your business as something that describes your past, but a blog shares how you think. And if indeed people don't care about you, but they care about how you or your organization can solve their problem, you must have a blog as part of your digital marketing strategy.
So I have a question about that, because you know what? I think I struggle with that one too. I have a blog and I have a website, and obviously they're both integrated. And I've been looking at different websites and everything. Do you think blogs should be your homepage? Like when somebody comes to your actual landing page now, should your blog be first and then your sort of resume, your history be second? Or should your history be first and your blog be second?
They have to be completely integrated. You know, when people come to your site for the first time and they're wondering what you're all about, you need to be able to tell them. That's the first. But on the other hand, the next step for them is say, well, let me just see how they think. And so having the blog content appear on the homepage itself means that they could do so. And because the content is always changing on your blog as new posts are posted, that means that you get a search engine optimization and SEO benefit almost, killing birds with one stone.
Immediately. So that, you know, I think that makes for good reason to actually go blog first. Now, Sharon, I've read some of your stuff too. Well, I've read both of your stuff, but Sharon, you're a pretty big blogger, aren't you?
I sure am. I have, and I've blogged, you know, I've got multiple sites. So when I'm trying to, you know, really engage the people that are taking, you know, some of my group coaching lessons online, I will actually, you know, do my blogging right in some LinkedIn groups that I have for those specific groups. I will do something right on my blog. I will do it in one of what we call almost like a blogging directory. And then that will generate traffic back to my site. So I do it and I follow the rules in which the sites that I do this for ask. You know, LinkedIn has its rules. A site called Easy and Articles has some rules. I do that and I just drive the traffic back to the site in question.
Okay. So it sounds to me like there's a couple of things to take into consideration here. It's not only in terms of your history and also content, like you mentioned, Randall, but also, you know, what are the rules around blogging or providing good, solid content to people so they know how you think. That sound about right?
Absolutely.
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 Okay.
Absolutely.
Randall, why don't you give hopefully you got another thought or tip for us. What would be one? Yeah. What would be another one?
I think, you know, with all the focus on social media, getting your profile up, even blogging, etc., that's really just step one. Step two is to use social media proactively. So, for example, before every key meeting, you should review the social media profiles of the people you are meeting or the person you're meeting. You know, what's their background? What are they saying right now? And most importantly, who do you know in common? Because once you know the people who are in common, then you could reach out to them and get a sense as to what are the drivers or motivators behind the person that you're actually going to meet.
So,
be proactive.
So be proactive. So are you saying then to at least at a minimal take the person's name and throw it into like a Google search or something and see what shows up?
Oh, I think Google search is really the basics. But let's just say, Richard, I didn't know you, but you were a critical person I was going to meet next week. I might look you up on LinkedIn, and I notice that there's one person who's in common between us. Well, if it was an important meeting, good, I've got that information. I might start the real meeting with you by saying, hey, Richard, I know that both of us know so-and-so. I'm curious how you know them.
All right.
And that'll start and if it's really critical, the meeting, what I might do beforehand is actually call them up beforehand and say, the mutual connection, and say, hey, I'm meeting Richard next week. I'm curious how you know Richard, and I'm wondering if you could share any of your experience with him.
Okay.
And that way I'd be able to be more focused during the meeting.
And be more focused during the meeting, have some background. I mean, I think those are great tips, actually. Sharon, I wonder if you might have a tip you could share with our listeners also.
Absolutely. I keep using my own process.
That's okay.
But, think about where you are currently. So don't beat yourself up over what you haven't done or what your blog looks like or your site looks like. Take a look at current state and think about what you want that to be target state. And then think about if this is a really giant leap, think about it in a tactical and a strategic thought, really. If you can make yourself some notes, say, okay, in the real future state, I would love it to look like this, if you know. Or I would, if you can find a few people's sites or blogs that you do like and say, I'd like it to like more, look more like this. And then go backwards a little bit. So say, okay, what are the tactics or strategy that I would use to get to that target state? Here's where I am today, and here's where my target state is. Now, let's actually break that up into little chunks that you can address. And you know what? It might be chunks over a year, or it may be chunks over a month. It might just be chunks over a week. It, you know, just size it appropriately.
And just set it up that way. You know, this is all great advice. Randall, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Best way is to go to randallcraig.com, RANDALLCRAIG.com, randallcraig.com. And my contact information is there, as well as over 500 of these types of tips, and they're all for no cost.
And they're all, yeah, they're all sitting there. I know that you got some great tips and everything in that space. And your name and connection information is right on the top right-hand corner of your website. So that's a good place for it to be. Sharon, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about finding you?
They could just either Google me or go on LinkedIn or any social media or my website. And that's all Sharon C. Evans. So SharonCEvans.com for okay. The website, and the exact same for Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, you name it.
So as long as they're looking for Sharon C. Evans, they'll be able to connect with you. This is Richard Lannan. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Hey, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success. If you've been tuning in today, you'll know what we've been talking about. Obviously, we've been covering information regarding business, our careers, and our lives, and what we need to be successful. Today has been more from an online perspective. And, you know, do you have an online presence? And I think that was sort of one of the questions sort of asked, or what does your online presence look like? And you know, that's actually something extremely important now, either for your business or for your career, or maybe even for yourself personally in life. Our guest today has been Randall Craig. Now, Randall is a social media expert, and so I suggest you want to have a dialogue regarding the strategic side of your social media and that. You might want to connect with them as Randall Craig and also Sharon C. Evans. And Sharon has talked to us today about her book and enterprise architecture, but also that whole career area and fundamentally making changes and using technology to even do coaching, for example, and how that would go about. So, again, a great show. If you need more information, you can always connect with me. And I know we've talked about my address change coming up, but richard@braveworld.ca. So that's still good at this point in time. You can check me out at setforsuccess.ca, www.setforsuccess.ca. And as usual, I'll take this opportunity, of course, to thank my guests. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. The choice is yours, audience. You make it a great day.